Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Accreditation Conference Call. At this time, all participants are in listen-only mode. Later, we'll conduct a question-and-answer session, and instructions will follow at that time. If you should need operator assistance during the conference, please press star then zero on your touch-tone telephone. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. I would now like to introduce your host for today's conference, Mr. Rob Ingstrom. Sir, you may begin the call.
Great. Thanks so much, and happy Friday, everybody. This is Rob Ingstrom, Vice President for Political Affairs and Federation Relations. Thanks for taking time out of your Friday afternoon to join us for a conference call on our accreditation program. I'm going to spend just a couple of minutes introducing the call, and then I'm going to go ahead and introduce Matthew Wasserberger, who is the manager for the accreditation program here at the U.S. Chamber. Have him provide some remarks about the program, an overview of the program, and then we're gonna be very proud to introduce Diana Green, who's SVP with the Myrtle Beach Area Chamber of Commerce, who has been through the accreditation program and process and is the proud owner now of a five-star accreditation, and we couldn't be more happy for her. She's gonna give us a few words about, from her perspective, how it was to go through the program, some questions that she had maybe on the front end, and then the value that hopefully, some of the value that she's realized and her team have realized as a result of going through that process. But just so that everyone on the call knows, in our division, we are the primary interface between the state and local chambers, associations, and small businesses and the rest of the chamber. And in that role, one of the programs that we have that's part of the crown jewel of the federation is our accreditation program. And that's some of you may have been through the process. Others of you hopefully want to learn about it and have maybe some questions about going through the accreditation program. It's something that we're very proud to host a conference call on and hope that we can answer any questions that you have both on this call and then moving forward, and really urge everybody to go through the process. There are only about 300 accredited chambers in the federation right now. And we always walk a balance. On the one hand, we have members that say, well, we want to get every chamber accredited because we want to get every chamber to a certain standard. And then there are others in the federation who say, no, it ought to be reserved for the limited group of chambers who are the best of the best. And we've kind of found what we believe to be a happy medium there by constructing through the accreditation board a very rigorous yet fair process to get your chamber accredited. And it is rigorous, but there's also been some improvements that have been made to the program to streamline it a bit while maintaining the integrity of the standards that we have set. So to that end, it's a program that's very, very important to us. I was speaking with a chamber group here just yesterday, and the topic that I had was, operating a chamber, retaining members, and growing in a challenging economic climate. And part of the crux of my speech and presentation that generated a lot of very positive discussion was talking about the accreditation program. How do you distinguish your chamber from other organizations in the area? How do you go to prospective members and current members, the press, and other individuals and organizations and say, look, we've been through this process. Here's what it is. Here's why we are one of the top 300 chambers in the country. And it's something that we feel very strongly about supporting. And so this call is hopefully the start of a dialogue with many of you. We're very heartened by the response that we got on this call, even though it is on a Friday afternoon, to try to engage more folks in this process. And that's the goal that we have by hosting this call. And that's kind of my overview of why we're having the call and what we hope to accomplish as a result. And so that's my start. I'm going to hand it over to Matthew Wasserberger, who manages the program day-to-day here at the Chamber, who's done an outstanding job, particularly in the last 2 years, of working very closely with our accreditation board, with many of you on the call and others, to kind of walk chambers through the process and provide an outline and a roadmap for what it takes to get to where Diana and her team have gotten, and that's to be an accredited chamber and a five-star accredited chamber in this particular case. So with that, Matthew, thanks for taking the time. Thanks for what you're doing, and I'm going to hand it over to you.
All right. Well, thank you, Rob. And I do want to welcome everyone onto the call. We're excited that you are interested in accreditation, that you're interested in standing out, moving ahead, and taking part in this program that has been with the chamber for about over 40 years. And during those 40 years, the main goal of this chamber accreditation program has been to truly define the standards of this industry that we're all in. setting those standards, making sure that we're always going to challenge ourselves to reach those standards and then go up and above and beyond that. And then also it's kind of to, you know, the main goal of this program, like the U.S. Chamber, is to foster a true pro-business environment across America. And we do that by providing you, hopefully, with the roadmap, which is our accreditation application of where you can go, the standards that other chambers have set, and then ultimately, like I said, move above and beyond those standards. Pretty much the accreditation application is the backbone of the process. The application is made up of 9 different sections that cover anything from governance, finance, government affairs, to program benchmarking and technology. It's a process that's been continuously streamlined. The standards have been set. We've gone from site visits to this application to the star ranking system, which kind of rewards chambers that meet the standards and then go above and beyond. So I would kind of like to hear from one of our 5-star chambers. They were completely new to the accreditation program when they submitted their intent to apply probably 6 or 9 months ago. But with that, I'll turn it over to Diana Green from our newly accredited 5-star chamber in Myrtle Beach.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. As we got involved with the process, we were fortunate that we had a CEO who saw the value of it initially and then brought it before our senior staff team. And it didn't take us long to look through it and say to ourselves, wow, this is something that we feel like could really benefit our organization. And also, it's something that we felt like could really allow us to promote the fact that we hoped we would score well and that we would be able to then market that out and use it as a membership retention and obviously a way to get new members. Discussing at the senior staff level, we took it to the executive committee with our board of directors and discussed it with them. And we were very lucky on our end. I know I've had some people ask me and say, well, you know, how do you get your board bought in? In our case, they were very familiar with the U.S. Chamber. We've had quite a few people going through the IOM program. We also, of course, have had our small business partnership with them. And so we just had a ton of people who said, wow, you know, and everything I hear out of them is good. And if this is something that you guys feel like will improve our organization, then you're going to have our support on it. And so from there, we actually took it and then broke it down. Since the sections are so easily broken down as to what's expected of you in the core accreditation areas, we actually created a team for each one of those areas. We had one over governance, finance, human resources, government affairs, et cetera, and so on. And then obviously we had a team whose job was sort of putting it all together aspect as well. And what was nice is we had several meetings together as a group where we had team leaders assigned to each area. Those team leaders were the people who were ultimately responsible, for instance, in the communications and marketing area, someone whose job was to sort of make sure all the pieces came together there. And then we had staff members we assigned initially and said, okay, these are the staff members that we think you should have involved. But the team leader, we also want you to then find the folks who are involved from a volunteer basis with the organization, whether it's other staff members, and bring them into it and then create these mini teams who begin then working on the different aspects of accreditation. And that worked really well for us. And then I was the overall team leader, so I met then with each of those individual teams, met with them as they went through different aspects of the project, different improvements that we made. And it was interesting because since I got a chance to meet with them all together and then separately, what I kept hearing over and over again at the individual meetings when we would discuss facilities or technology was that everybody kept saying, well, you know what's great about this is, you know, we really needed to update this. We really needed to improve this process. I never thought about doing this piece of this particular documentation. And we got so much out of it, and the staff was actually very excited. Because going into it, I'll admit, I kind of felt like, wow, everybody's going to say, okay, we're putting a bunch of extra work on you. You know, well, is there going to be as much value? Would they get it as well as the senior staff and the executive committee did? But oddly enough, they did, and they became the biggest champions and worked extremely well. We set them up on deadlines for specific time frames to complete aspects of each one of their sections and then worked with them on refining those or updating them as we needed to. And the process for us worked so well. And, again, it was just so wonderful to see the staff get so excited. And then when we would come together for the big overall meeting, how proud they were to talk about, well, here's what we've updated for facilities now. And here's what we're doing that we weren't doing previously. And this is something that we've learned now. And I think it was great. We got a huge amount of employee buy-in and pride going through the process. And then I was amazed. At the end of it, we did a big presentation to our board and discussed, okay, what did you update or improve? And we kind of wanted to sort of say to them, thank you for letting us do this process. And here's what we did. And we actually created a listing for them that we discussed the different things that were updated. And then we actually talked about the things that we developed. And we provided them with a list of each one of them and showed them specific examples. And it was a nice list on each aspect. And we were able to really go forward and say, you know, this is a process that is so good. I really wish that it existed for all types of organizations, because for us, it's a no-brainer to do this every 5 years. We should be doing this every 5 years anyway. And so we absolutely loved the process and felt so good about it when we were done and felt like we'd already made so many improvements. But we felt like winners at the end of it. And then when we got the 5-star accreditation, we really felt like winners. But that was a fantastic feeling to go through this. And we already knew that we had improved who we were and what we did for our members. So it was an absolutely wonderful process. And the U.S. Chamber staff were just wonderful. Anytime we had a question, no matter how small or large, they were both kind to get back in touch with us and answer it, and were just most helpful. So it was a very, very good process for us.
Well, I'm happy to hear that. Thank you for for the compliments there. Hopefully everyone else kind of has the same feeling that they're ready to jump into this process. Just to kind of give you the overview on how to begin with the overall process, check out the website. It's where most of our information is housed. It's uschamber.com/accreditation. From there, we have an intent to apply form. This is truly what lets us know that you're interested in going through this process, that we can give you the hands-on help that you need, notifications of upcoming conference calls, or any program updates that we have, so you're not working on this process and then all of a sudden know that something's changed or you've missed out on some of these great resources that we have for you, is to complete that intent to apply form. But like I said before, the application itself is the backbone of this process. It's truly how we give, you know, hopefully give you the roadmap on where you can improve, where you can give these sections to your individual staff members, to your board, get them working on it and see which aspects of chamber, you know, life you're doing well, where you can improve and move on. So we've also tried to enhance that process by going online. The application is now a digital application that you download from the website. From there, you save it to an internal drive or a USB drive, so it is a lot easier to share this information, to divide up the work and get lots of different people involved and hopefully as excited as Diana was to go through this process. Once the application's completed, you do submit it still on a USB drive or CD-ROM. You mail that to us at the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. All of our information is in the application, so you know where to mail it. You also submit a application fee. The fee is used to cover the cost of us processing your application and also evaluating it. And some of the best feedback comes after we review your application. The U.S. Chamber looks at it, as well as some of our professional consultants who have years of experience in the industry. They go over everything that you submit, hopefully find areas that you're doing well that we can highlight. We call them best practices and post them on our website. And any areas where we feel that you need some improvement, we gladly give you some constructive feedback on what you can do to get better. And then from there afterwards, it's all good news. Hopefully everyone is highly rated with these star rankings. And we have numerous press releases, a marketing kit, a DVD to share. So you can do exactly what Diana and the Myrtle Beach Chamber did, is spread the good news to your board and then on to your members and then on to the overall community through the press and let them know that that your chamber is now stronger for going through this process. It's worthy of investing in, bringing in new members, taking on new programs, new initiatives, taking positions in the community that are just going to make you an overall better business organization. So with that, I think we can open it up for Q&A.
Yeah, that's great, Matthew. Thank you very much, and thanks, Diana, for that overview as well in terms of how you were able to go through the process. And at this point, we just wanted to, you know, provide a little bit of overview of what the process is, some experiences that people have had with it, how the application process works in a big picture way. And now I think we'd be happy to open it up for any questions that anybody may have, you know, in regards to going through the process.
Thank you. If you have a question at this time, please press star 1 on your touchtone telephone. Again, if you have a question, please press star 1. Our first question comes from Paula Fowler.
Hi. I'm a really small chamber, and I think we have loads of things to do before we can even think about doing the accreditation process. Is there any program that you do prior to that, or do you just jump into this and learn from it?
On our website, we do have one useful tool for you. It is our self-assessment web form. The self-assessment web form is actually a list of all of our minimum requirements, and all chambers need to meet these minimum requirements in order to be accredited. So it's a simple form that you can go down, answer yes or no to, and then you submit it. It does not get sent to us. Instead, it gets sent right back to you and then lists the questions that you've that you answered no to, and that's going to show you exactly what you need to focus on in order to meet just the minimum requirements to be accredited. However, these standards, you'd be surprised how much you probably already do, and I think it's definitely worth the time to take a look at that online assessment, see how close you are, and then truly focus on the few areas that you can work on and get accreditation, because just being an accredited chamber for a small chamber is a excellent accomplishment.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Phil Parker.
Yes, Phil Parker in Dayton, Ohio. We've already gone through accreditation three times. This last time was that we gained also five-star accreditation. My question is hopefully a simple one, but just one for confirmation. We were, I think, back several years ago, we might have been the first to use electronic means. We sent the full, I think it was actually two binders worth of information, which was very typical of the former method. But we sent for the first time it on CD, and certainly we received some thanks for that. But I just want to make sure that the U.S. Chamber is well-equipped now if they're all going to come in electronically. In today's new age, it should be easy, but I want to make sure that you guys are well-equipped, that you're not going to see any real hard paper documents. You're well-prepared to view all of this electronically, because one of my questions from one of my board members who will be co-chairing this opportunity here next year, 2010, mm-hmm. is that he's concerned that something will be missed in the translation of putting everything on electronically. Are we all okay that I can allieve his fears that we'll be able to document enough of our chamber work and activity?
Yes, Phil. Thank you. Let me allay your concern first. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Second, we appreciate that, and that's wonderful news. The I'll allay your concern. When they merged our divisions and they took the Federation 2 years ago and they merged it into the advocacy side, I was at ILR, the Institute for Legal Reform, for 5 years. One of the first things that we discussed, because of feedback from people who had been through the process before, is, U.S. Chamber, you need to figure out a way how to make this process still rigorous, still principled, but move it into the 21st century as it relates to what you referenced, which is putting together massive binders. So that's something that, Matthew helped spearhead, streamlined the process, but also maintain the integrity of the process. And there's nothing that will be lost in translation. It is exactly where we need to be as an organization. And we're always looking for suggestions on how we can even improve it further as it relates to, going through the process and delivering the final product in a format that is, that has the best utility. So,
I appreciate that very much, and thank you for that answer, because I think it will be fine, because they looked at our presentation before, and they liked it when they saw it 4 years ago, almost 5 years ago, in CD form. And we've now maybe set the bar kind of high for ourselves, and we just want to make sure that we can do a good job, an adequate job of representing what we do as a Chamber of Commerce in the Midwest.
Well, it's an exact, completely legitimate question, and I'll absolutely allay your concern there. And if you run into anything that you think as you go through the process in the future that gives you any pause, you can just let us know and be happy to work through it.
Thank you very much. That's very kind of you.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Stacy Driscoll.
Hi, Stacy Driscoll, Anna, Texas. My question was answered by the first question. So
okay. All right.
I'm showing no further questions.
Okay. Well, thanks, everybody. I know that sometimes on calls like these, people get on and just kind of want to feel out, you know, well, how hard is it really to go through accreditation, and how much time do I really have? And it's, you know, a more challenging climate to retain the members that I have, and how am I going to add this on top of everything that I'm doing? And my argument back is, you know, it's exactly that makes it exactly the right time to go through accreditation, exactly because of those reasons. And so if there are offline conversations that we need to have, we welcome them. We just wanted to have the opportunities we like to do a couple of times a year to get together and host a conference call and provide the forum to provide a little bit of feedback on the current updates with the process, highlight some folks who have been through it and done an outstanding job. And Phil and Diana certainly fall into that category, along with many of you who are also on the phone. And so thanks for what you're doing. Thanks for what you've done. And please reach out to me or Matthew if there's anything that we can do in regards to answering any questions that you may have, no matter how small or specific they may be. We really want to make the push to get as many people within the standards that the board has set to get accredited, and welcome your help and participation in that process. And so if there aren't any further questions, I hope everybody has a wonderful weekend, and thanks again for taking the time to join us.
Pardon me, I am showing a question.
Okay, great.
From Ray Kopisch.
Hi, Ray Kopisch speaking from Green Bay.
Okay.
Is there a statute of limitations on renewals? Our accreditation lapsed prior to actually most of the present staff being there. Is there a way of resuscitating that without going through a 6 or 9 month period as Myrtle Beach apparently did?
Actually, there is no reaccreditation process. It's just accreditation all over again. Phil, who's a five-star chamber in Dayton, will be submitting all of his data to us again. We just feel that 5 years is such a long time in this industry. A lot can change, and we do want to see everything all over again, from your policies and your procedures to your most current up-to-date legislative agendas and technology plans and five-year plans. So that's kind of where we're at. A lot of that might be similar to what you did, you know, 10 years ago or 15 years ago, whenever you're accredited. I know sometimes bylaws don't change, your articles of incorporation don't change. So you might have a lot of that already in place. But anyone that's getting accredited is going to be submitting all of this current information to us. And right, it can be anywhere from a simple 3-month task just to get that all together, or maybe up to 9 months if you truly are focusing on improving some of the aspects that you found that you're not quite up to standard.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm showing no further questions.
Okay. Well, thanks again, everyone. Have a great weekend and appreciate your participation. Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for participating in today's conference. This does conclude the program. You may now disconnect.